little background. Those two chapters are about devotional service, understanding devotional service, pure devotional service. And towards the end of 29, there's some discussion about what happens if you don't. The consequences of forgetting Krishna and being engaged in activities and forgetfulness of Krishna, fruitive activities specifically. And there's the element of time comes in, repeated verse after verse. The time energy moves material existence, and those that are involved in material existence in forgetfulness of Krishna are strongly and adversely influenced by time. She wants to give you something. That's how the chapter ends. The time factor works differently for the devotee, specifically the languages. The devotional service tendency is innate within every living being eternally. Eternally. So time acts in that way. Devotional service is to Krishna, is an eternal circumstance, not created by something that comes and goes. It's of the soul. And those that are forgetful of that spirit, that propensity, become influenced by the time energy in a different way. And so then that leads into the next chapter, chapter 30, which is a scary chapter. Last time I was here, we were discussing chapter 30. What's it like when one engages in fruitive activities and step by step by step by step, forgetfulness and fearfulness and illusion and, you know, in graphic detail, up to the point of death, and then what that like when the soul is materially attached, leaves the body. Can we close this door? Because someone's talking out there pretty loud. Okay, so the approach of death, the attachment to the temporary, you know you're going to have to give that up, and then the relatives and friends gather around and cry, and you want to say something, and something is, take care of my possessions, please, and you can't even say it because choked up with mucus, and then the soul leaves the body. Death. Death is inevitable for devotees also, but the way of departing the body is different if your consciousness is upon Krishna. You know you're going to Krishna. Yeah, in the beginning part is that the journey of the soul to the court of Yamaraj for hellish existence for all of your sinful and forgetful activities. So it's not a rosy picture. Then this chapter begins with the living entity taking his next birth, and it describes the beginning part of chapter 31. What's that like? I didn't even cover those verses yet because they're so gruesome. People think, oh, let's celebrate. The child is now conceived, poor child, so the beginning of 31, poor living entity. And then, so, the difficulty is so intense that some very, very special souls, they remember Krishna. And they pray to Krishna. And this section we're reading from is the prayers. I'll just read text 15, that was the one previous to this one. The human soul further prays. It is related to the verse we're going to discuss this morning. The human soul, meaning, not like there's animal souls and human souls and bird souls and fish souls and insect souls and tree souls, but a soul that's been awarded the human body and in its gestation stage may, by great fortune, recognize the difficulty of their circumstance and pray to the Supreme Lord. This is one of them. The living entities put under the influence of determination continues a hard struggle for existence on the path of repeated birth and death. This conditional mind is due to its forgetfulness of its relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can you again engage in the defense of living service of the Lord? But when you're a prisoner, you're bound up by ropes, or you're in the bottom of a well, or any of those other metaphors, you require someone who's unbound to release you. Someone who's not in the well to help you get out of the well. Someone who's not in prison that has a key to get you out of the prison. But without the soul here is recognizing the absolute necessity of mercy, the previous verses also describe. When we recognize the circumstance, here is a living entity within the womb, and for us it may be some other, whatever, we're out of the womb, and recognizing the circumstance of fruitive activities born of forgetfulness of the personality of God, it will require mercy. And so that leads us into text 16. No one other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the localized karma, but the partial representation of the Lord, is directing all animate and inanimate objects. He is present in the three phases of time, past, present, and future. Therefore, the conditioned soul is engaged in different activities by his direction, and in order to get free from the threefold miseries of this conditional life, we have to surrender unto him only. And there's the paragraph purport. When the conditioned soul is seriously anxious to get out of the influence of material pleasures, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated within him as Paramatma, gives him this knowledge. Colon. Surrender to me. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, give up all other engagements, just surrender to me. It is to be accepted that the source of knowledge is the Supreme Person. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Matakshmitya Gyanma Bhavanamcha. The Lord says, quote, through me, one gets real knowledge and memory, and one also forgets through me. To one who wants to be materially satisfied, or who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord gives the opportunity to forget his service and engage in the so-called happiness of material activity. Similarly, one is frustrated in lording it over material nature and is very serious about getting out of this material attachment. The Lord, from within, gives him the knowledge that he has to surrender unto him, semicolon. Then there is liberation. Second paragraph. This knowledge cannot be imparted by anyone other than the Supreme Lord or his representative. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya instructs Rupa Goswami that the living entities wander in life after life, undergoing miserable conditions of material existence, but When one is very anxious to get free from the material entanglement, he gets enlightenment through a spiritual master and Krishna. This means that Krishna, as the Super Soul, is seated within the heart of the living entity. And when the living entity is serious, the Lord directs him to take shelter of his representative, the bona fide spiritual master, directly from within and guided externally by the spiritual master. One attains the path of Krishna consciousness, which is the way out of material clutches. And third paragraph. Therefore, he's going to say the same thing again. Therefore, there is no possibility of one being situated in his own position unless he is blessed by the Supreme Lord. Unless he is enlightened with the supreme knowledge, one has to undergo the severe penalties of the hard struggle for material existence in the material nature. The spiritual master is therefore the mercy manifestation of the supreme person. The conditioned soul has to take direct instruction from the spiritual master, and thus he gradually becomes enlightened to the path of Krishna consciousness. The seed of Krishna consciousness is sown within the heart of the conditioned soul, and when one hears instruction from the spiritual master, the seed fructifies, and one's life is blessed. End of purport. There's many different ways of reading texts like this. One, as I was just reading it now, just appreciating. One could take, if one were to take the time and sentence by sentence say, where does this come from? And where does that come from? Where does the next thing come from? It's all scriptural knowledge being stated in conventional language. The message that Prabhupada is presenting is simply descending knowledge. It's not his idea. It's not speculation or interpretation or anything like that. It's transparent representation of teachings given in the scripture. It's important, and it's a nice appreciation. Say negatively, he doesn't say anything other than that in all of his reports. But being an empowered representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he speaks, it's understandable, it's eloquent, it's right to the point, and he's the carrier of Krishna's message. That's one appreciation of the Bhaktivedanta purports. Another appreciation is the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is an expansion of Vyasadeva's realization in trance. Because the first thing that Vyasadeva did in compiling the Vedas was he took the one Veda, divided it into four, took the 1 billion verses of the Puranic section of the Vedas and consolidated it into 400,000 and wrote Vedanta Sutra. He compiled, established Mahabharata. Enormous work. And then, after hearing from Narada that he had not sufficiently glorified Krishna, and he was instructed to follow a certain process, fixing his mind upon the personality of Godhead in trance, and then based upon what he would see, write not another literature exactly, because the 18 Puranas had already been established, but to take this Srimad Bhagavatam and present that which is in his realization. So in his realization, it says in a few phrases But this whole chapter is giving you detail. This chapter is an expansion of the asa realization. In other words, yaya-samogito jiva-atmana-tribhanatma. Although the living entity is paropi, para means transcendental. Api means although. Paropi, although transcendental, the living entity is bewildered. Yaya-samogito jiva. Atmana. Trikunatma, thinking of himself as a product of its own nature. That's me. And, you know, there's mom and dad produced me, and, you know, that's it. That's reality. Although transcendental. So, and struggling very hard, suffering miseries because of that mistaken understanding, because of the deluding force of Maya. That's what the previous verses were saying. I'm deluded. Here I am with this material body, with senses and mind, and I'm misusing it completely. You don't have a material body. You are the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. I'm completely dependent upon you. It's very similar going back to chapter 25 of this canto. Devahuti says, I'm deluded by Maya, but it's your Maya. You covered me by this Maya, so can you remove it, please? Only you can remove it. I can't remove it. There's nothing I can do. What should I do to, you know, persuade you to remove this Maya, please? Occasionally devotional service. So that the descending mercy is needed and the eagerness to receive the descending mercy is needed. The two things. Effort from our side, sincere. Prabhupada uses these different adjectives. Sincere, serious. Not just get out of the condition, but be stated in our natural position. When one is sincere, then super soul within the heart, he gives instruction, surrender to me. Or he comes externally and says, surrender to me. Or his representatives say, surrender to Krishna. It is the same thing. It's actually not only the same thing specifically, it's Krishna speaking. There's another teaching that Srila Prabhupada has given. When the representative of Krishna says what Krishna says, it's Krishna speaking. Not mechanical, it's like this is a microphone, there's a speaker, and there's the amplifier over there. So speaking into the microphone, the sound comes out of the speaker saying, surrender unto me. Krishna says, surrender to me. So that's just a device. It's a machine. It's a mechanism. But in this case, it's the devotee of Krishna that says what Krishna says is Krishna speaking. That is, the devotee becomes the instrument of Krishna. Krishna is the deliverer. Krishna is the message. Surrender to Krishna is Krishna's message. It's just the agency of Krishna's reaching the conditioned soul to bring them to him. It's Krishna. A very simple example. Supposing I wanted to shake your hand, you're too far away, so I put a glove on the end of the stick and put the stick out and we shake hands that way. You're not shaking hands with the stick, you're shaking hands with the person that's extended from the person. Like that, the instrument of Krishna is Krishna. It acts as Krishna, although its person doesn't make the person a machine, something mechanical, but it's Krishna. And all it takes is the willingness to act on Krishna's behalf, and you can become Krishna's instrument. And Krishna can act through you. It's pretty wonderful. A little mystical. And not easy to understand for one who is some mohita, very bewildered by the deluding influences of Maya. And so much affinity for the temporary keeps us bewildered. Even we hear, oh, doesn't go in. Kind of like, oh, that's a little light in the darkness, that's nice, but it doesn't stay. We continue in our bewildered condition, unfortunately. So the living entity is calling for mercy. Any discussion points?
So this prayer that is offered by a human soul, you mentioned that this doesn't happen for all the souls, but some fortunate souls?
Yeah. What makes the difference between the ones that are fortunate and unfortunate?
I was just clarifying that. Is that true that only rare fortunate soul goes through the experience
of prayer? So what's your question specifically?
I wanted to just clarify that, whether that is indeed true, that only one who is fortunate, who is in the womb of the mother, are going through this experience, able to realize.
Yeah, it's rare. And it has something to do with their previous life before they got to that position. I mean, how many people that are out of the womb recognize their misfortune? Is it everybody, or is it rare? Something. You have something? You'd like to? I'm looking at you. Yes,
Maharaj. I was wondering that text 16, it says that. Like Prabhupada says that the people who are really anxious to get out of the resistance, they're directed, but that's not supposed to be the impulse, right?
Well, that's motivation. That's not the platform of pure devotional service. But it's because it's not the platform of devotional service, doesn't mean it's not a good idea, or it's a bad aspiration. It's not the platform of pure devotional service. We know from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says four types of people render devotional service unto me. And one of them is that first category. They're distressed. They want relief of that distress. So they go to Krishna for relief of that distress. That's a beginning. Not pure devotional service, but it's a beginning of devotional service. But the language was that we're not supposed to. I remember a lecture Prabhupada gave, where he was, at least the beginning part of the lecture, and then I read a transcript of it later. Najanam, Kadikamba, Jagadisha Kamali, Mama, Jamani, Jamanishari, Bhavata, Bhakti, speaking of that verse, trust in verse. And right at the very beginning, Prabhupada addressed this question, that it's not the standard, that's the standard of pure devotional service for one who's not the standard of pure devotional service. It's good to desire to be with Krishna. It's good to desire to get out of the material circumstance and be with Krishna. And at the higher platform, Krishna, if you wish me to be in material existence, that's fine as long as I can serve you. So we're not there. That's Lord Chaitanya is there, teaching us. That's the higher state. But it's good for us, preliminarily, cessation of the misery of material existence. It's just we want to be happy. And then I want to be in my relationship with Krishna. And then Krishna, you can do with me whatever you like. Different stage of consciousness. You're not supposed to desire like that. It's good to desire like that, especially in the beginning. I want out of this crazy situation. But we're not a salvationist or liberationist movement, but that's a subset of Krishna bhakti. It's something like working without attachment. That's a subset of bhakti. But it's something we consider, how to work without attachment. We do that, we cultivate, we're concerned about that as a subset of bhakti. Because as long as I have this strong attachment to be the enjoyer of the fruits of my work, instead of working with attachment, then my Krishna consciousness is covered. I'll never be able to touch it. I'll never connect with it. So we're concerned as a subset of bhakti. Similarly.
When we hear that the super soul acts externally through the agency of the spiritual master,
or his other representatives, yeah.
Okay, you can answer. What I was trying to indicate is that should we just think that he is manifesting through the Diksha Guru particularly, or he can manifest through Shiksha Guru?
He can manifest in so many ways. He can manifest through some incident that happens in your life. He's the controller of Prakriti, and something happens with Prakriti that's a prompt, or if you got Krishna. That requires super soul from within, that, oh, if you got Krishna. But you know, the external energy can also. Just like, there's a whole section in later cantos where there's one person counting how many spiritual masters, and he, you know, the trees and the river and the, you know, different circumstances. They're my gurus. They're instructing me in different ways.
The light goes on in the consciousness that, but the light doesn't stay. As in the realization doesn't sustain for a long time. So what actions can we do to make sure that the realization of the light that goes on in the consciousness stays? It doesn't just fade away.
Continue cultivating sincerely. By that I mean, just for the sake of the recording and so that I'm clear what the question is. Light goes on, we realize, oh, I'm in this difficult circumstance, and we take up devotional service. What can we do to make sure that light stays on? Does it go off? Count on, because the reality is we're mixed. Our devotion is not pure, it's mixed. And so the unsteadiness is going to be there. Sometimes, sometimes not. Circumstance is going to be there. That's just being honest with ourselves. It's going to be like that. That's the reality of our present position. So when the light's on, let me take this opportunity to very sincerely apply myself to connect with Krishna. And when the light starts to dim, continue anyway with the faith that this process of bhakti, I may not be as attracted to it as I was yesterday or some while ago, but I have faith in the bhakti process. And I know specifically that faith says that these tendencies for being covered will become purified and removed by the bhakti process. So with faith, let me continue with the bhakti process, even though that manifestation of enthusiasm and light has dimmed. So we go through the down cycles of the sine curve with continued enthusiasm based upon faith in the process of bhakti. And very important is the relationship, that the primary relationships that we have in our lives that keep us connected to Krishna. Ensure that those primary relationships are vibrant, strong, real places of shelter for us. So even when we're down, just like your daughter, she may sometimes feel, you know, jolly, and sometimes she may feel cranky. But, you know, she knows that a consistent thing, regardless of what I'm feeling, there's mother, who is very affectionate. And even if she taps me in the cheek with one of the writing instruments, it's okay, because she's mom, she's okay. And I'm just being playful, and it's okay. Like that. So those relationships, primary relationships, are strong, vital. So that sense of shelter, being protected even when we're not strong.
I was wondering, Guru Maharaj, besides Krishna's mercy and our sincerity, is there some other ingredient also?
Somehow another what?
Some other ingredient that...
Besides mercy?
Besides mercy and sincerity.
Besides mercy and what else?
Sincerity.
Sincerity. Well, you know, endeavor is nice. I can sincerely wait for Krishna's mercy. So we strive by right means in Krishna's language. One who strives by right means is assured of success, Krishna says. So we serve, that's the striving. We hear something and we strive to fulfill that something. We act within the instruction, means we're acting within the relationship between this instructor and us by striving according to that instruction, which then connects us to Krishna, because the instruction is Krishna's instruction. The Krishna connection is made by our striving along. So that's a demonstration of sincerity. I hear and then I take it inside and I do it, not just do, like, you know, behavior, but from the heart, I'm carrying out the instructions. It's in my heart and it's my life. And we're connected to Krishna, striving, endeavoring. One of the five factors of action mentioned in Bhagavad Gita makes an endeavor. Abhyasa, endeavor. Our endeavors are fully dependent upon mercy, but we have to endeavor. And the type of endeavor is the sincerity factor. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's quite amazing. I had this question in my mind, but next minute you answered my question to Kama Ruta Babu.
Okay.
So the question is, Krishna only brings his soul back to him through a spiritual master of Krishna, also use our surroundings, situations, and the people we are dealing with every day, our daily activities, to bring us back to him. And your answer is yes. Krishna also uses other things.
He'll give other options, but he doesn't, you know, he's pointing you in the direction of the right one. I mean, that's what stated, if I understood your question correctly, Krishna will give us other options. He's seen what's in our heart. He's got this, you know, the spiritual potency option is the option of preference, and the essence of that is surrender to Krishna. And then there's so many details of what we do in surrender to Krishna. But supposing someone is saying no, or not saying no, they're hesitating, which is another, it's a milder no. So then, what are some of the other options besides that one that I'm really saying no to? And then Krishna will supply, you know, well, here's a whole list of options. You can do this, you can do that, you can do the other thing. And the mind goes over to those options and selects from the menu. He didn't force, he reciprocates. He's appealing, he's loving. He didn't force. Is that a pressure question? Part of the bewilderment is there's so many options out there. And if we're not fixing the surrender to Krishna option, then it gets really complicated. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, your follow-up question?
Yeah, I also sense there's danger that we put our trust on other things other than the spiritual master.
Yes, that's correct. It's called mixed devotion.
How to get the intelligence to this?
Krishna, he wants to give it to you. You can read Bhagavad Gita 10, chapter 10, text number 10. Tesham satati yukta nam vajitam pratipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam. Buddhi yoga is intelligence. Krishna gives the intelligence to one who satata yukta nam. Satata means always, yukta nam means engaged, striving. Vajitam with devotion. Pratipurvakam with love. Unto that person, Krishna will give. He wants to give to everyone, but you know, we got out to lunch sign hanging on our door. Nobody's home. Krishna's knocking, and we call that nobody's home. Come back tomorrow. Somebody may be home tomorrow. So our intelligence isn't singular. There's another, right? You can write it down, 241 Bhagavad Gita. Write it down. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 41. Same message as 10.10. Same language as Bodhi Yoga. In the purport, Prabhupada explains how you get that. It's really simple. He doesn't quote Baladeva Vidyabhusan, but it's from Baladeva Vidyabhusan that says one gets that, Krishna gives that bodhi unto one who takes the instruction of their spiritual master as life and soul. You can't separate, the instruction from your life and soul. You can't separate life from the soul. You can't separate the instruction of the spiritual master from the devotee. To that person, Krishna gives that special intelligence. Very singular. All the diversity of life is there, but very singular intelligence Krishna gives to such a person. Very clear. It's a very wonderful verse. It's worth reading hundreds of times. And the same message that's in chapter 241 is found in 10.10. Same message. Unto such a person, Krishna gives. And to another person, Krishna gives, in the language of 241, is Bahu Shaka. Shaka means branches, and Bahu means many. Their intelligence is many branched. This, that, and the other thing, put it all together and get happiness, never happens. So let me try it differently. This and that, the other thing. Get happiness, no happiness. And we keep pursuing it. Bahu Shaka Yanantasha Buddha Yogi Vasainam. So there's two options, two categories of options. And then from those, this option, that option, there's different ways of experiencing Krishna giving you a very singular intelligence to do everything that you do with loving service to Him. Everything. And anything that isn't that, you don't even consider it. Make life really simple. For some people, too simple. They like the complexity. But it's not that in the life of a devotee, there isn't all types of diversity, all types of, just think of how the kinds of services that Srila Prabhupada did. All kinds of services. Lots of diversity. The wonders. And everything. Whether it was dealing with a child, or whether it was dealing with the head of state, whether it was dealing with disciples, or non-devotees, or professors, or simple people, or one purpose. Krishna gives that intelligence. Then one's life is guided by Krishna directly. That's a nice life. The other one is maybe moments that seem like, oh, it's nice. Even that's not nice. We'll just speak of all the rest.